life again, to see God work in our lives. And you say, how does that come about? Well, this next song is a great truth to remind us about how that revival comes about. It's when we're more about Jesus and about the things of Him and the things about His kingdom that revival comes about. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Let's sing more about Jesus. Why don't we sing the first, second, and fourth stanza, first, second, and last stanza, more about Jesus. That we can worship God about, and this next song speaks of the fact that He is a wonderful, merciful Savior. So let's lift our voices together and continue worshiping, singing, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. one another this morning and welcome one another. We'll return to sing one last song before the message this morning, since we're going straight from the worship time into our message this morning. But we just want to say welcome to one and all. Let's shake hands. If you're visiting us this morning, we want to say welcome. If you're visiting us again, we want to say welcome back. It's good to have you here at Bethany Baptist Church this morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be at local church this morning.
Places. I just want to say welcome once again to Bethany Baptist Church on this last Sunday of the year. And if you have not received a bulletin this morning, you could just raise your hand if you will, and the ushers will find one, find your hand and get you one. And that way you can get up to date on all that is going on here in our church. And there's a couple things I want to point out. So if you have a bulletin, if it's there in your Bible right there on the bench, would you just pick it up really quick and look inside it? There's just a couple things I want to draw your attention to before we get into this last song and into the time of the message. And the first thing is you'll see a flyer called the Ambassadors Class. All right, this is a new class we're starting next week for everyone that's 55 and older. Dr. Robert Crane will be our new Sunday school teacher, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful English adult class, and we're calling it the Ambassadors Class. And so that starts next week. And if you'd like to be a part of that class, if you would, after the service this morning, just go by the information center. There's a sign-up sheet there. If you would, just sign up to that class. I don't know if you tell them in the information center, I want to sign up for the Ambassadors Class. They'll know exactly what you're talking about, and they'll mark your name down. And that way, next week, we'll know how much coffee to have in the class and how many donuts to have and things like that. And hopefully just get a great kickstart to the year with this new Ambassadors Class. The other thing I want to direct your attention to is this little postcard there that's in your bulletin, and it says, get connected. Next month, starting next Sunday, for the whole month of January, it's our connection month where we get plugged in to a ministry here at church. And so if you're a member of our church and you're not part of a ministry, or if you want to sign up again for another year commitment to a ministry, that opportunity will be made available starting next week. So this is just a reminder. You can stick it in your Bible or somewhere throughout the week to remind you, next Sunday we start for the whole month of January getting connected, getting plugged in into a ministry. And I want to encourage you, if you're a member of the church this morning, start praying where God would have you to serve in this year of 2020, where God can use you, where you can make the greatest impact for God's glory. So I just want to remind you and let you know about those two special things there in your bulletin. Once again, thank you for being here at Bethany Baptist Church. We're so glad to have you. And Brother John, if you come lead us in another song before the time of message.
I know this is still vacation time. Some people out, some people coming in, and it's good to see everybody this morning. I want to welcome a couple of my friends. It's good to see John Greaves and his wife Barb, who help us for the last several years at camp. They've been a great blessing, a head up of ministry there, and we're so thankful for them to be with us. It's good to have you guys here this morning, and each and every one of you, welcome this morning. Like I said, it's a good time. It's a good way to end 2019, a good way to be able to bring this decade to a close, saying we recognize that our blessings come from God. He is on which we build a solid life. He is on which we build the happiest life. And so this morning, it's a good time, a good place to be here. And this song speaks about building. You know, in the Bible, it speaks about how that was true of the old builders. That cornerstone was so pivotal. Everything relied on that foundational piece, that cornerstone. And the reality is that this song speaks about Jesus Christ being our cornerstone. So let's sing this morning. Let's worship together, singing Cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than
Bibles, go ahead and open to Psalms chapter number 90. And if you're wondering why it seems a little bit strange this morning to do what we're doing, we're going to be moving the offering to the end of the service. And the reason for that is this morning we want to take an opportunity once again for those that were not able to participate perhaps last week in my gift to Jesus. Then this week, we want to have another opportunity to do that. And instead of having to try to do two offerings in one service, we decided we'll just move the offering to the very end of the service. And that way, we'll just do it one time, and we'll be able to give our gift to Jesus, not only the Christmas gift that we have for Jesus in our special offering, but then, of course, our tithes and offerings as well. So that will be at the very end of our service after the message this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Psalm chapter number 90. And as you're turning there, I did want to say hi. Welcome, Adrian and Elizabeth Torres. This is the first time they're visiting with us as a married couple. The last time they were with us, they were not married. Let's go ahead and congratulate them, by the way. Married for a month, and Elizabeth still hasn't left him. So we're really, really proud of her for that. But it's good to have them here this morning, all the way from Connecticut, all the way from there to visit with us this weekend. Psalm chapter number 90, and we're going to be reading from verse number 12 down to verse number 17. We're going to study this whole chapter this morning, but in the time of reading, we'll just read those verses just to kind of get us introduced to the passage this morning that we're going to be looking at here. So Psalm chapter number 90 and verse number 12. It says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning for this very last time in this year of 2019, on this Sunday morning, I pray that, Father, you would speak to us. Father, thank you for your faithfulness and meeting with us every Sunday this year. Father, thank you for your faithfulness in providing for us all that we needed in this year. And now, Father, as we once again open your word, as we worship you through this time of preaching, I pray that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds, that we would put away any distraction that we might have this morning, and I pray that you would help us to just be focused on your word. I pray that our hearts would be receptive to your word, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us through the preaching. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill me as I do my very best to share what you have laid on my heart. I pray that you would give me clarity of thought this morning. Help me to share that truth that you've put. And Father, that we might be not only hearers of your word this morning, but doers also. Father, may we be encouraged by your word. May we be challenged by your word. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God does so much in a year's time. I don't know if you've noticed it, but time just goes on so fast. It seems like it flies by. As we're approaching the month of January, we kind of look at 2020 and we're like, 12 months. That seems like a long time. But I don't know how about you, how many are like me, but doesn't it seem like maybe, I don't know, a week ago that we were all hugging each other and saying, "Happy New Year, 2019 is here." And suddenly it's about to end. I mean, it went by so quickly. And time does that. Time just kind of flies by in our day and age. I mean, it just seems like you're one day shopping for New Year's stuff, and the next day you're shopping for Christmas stuff. I don't know how many this year had that experience, but this was the first time in quite a few years that I had that experience where I didn't realize we were like a week away from Christmas, and I had bought nothing. I had bought nobody's gift yet, and I was in a panic mode. And usually I try to buy the gifts on Amazon, and I didn't this year. I just kind of forgot almost, and before I knew it, it was a week away from Christmas, and it was like, all right, let's go to TJ Maxx and Ross and everywhere that we can just try to find something for the people we need to buy the gifts for. And man, time just flew by, it felt like, for me. And I don't know about for you, but I can just say that time goes by quickly. But in that time, God does some amazing things. In this past year of 2019, God did some amazing thing, and God works in the midst of time. God uses time to begin to manifest himself in our life, to begin to work in our lives. But having said all that, I've got some bad news for you. And the bad news is this: we're going to die. I know that's not what you want to hear at the end of 2019, but that is the truth. We're going to die. And let me just say that there's no delaying that event. In fact, we all die in an appointed time, the Bible says. You can't put it off. You can't change that appointment. God has that appointment. And right now, death could look fairly nice when you think about it. Death isn't what it used to be. If you look at death, you realize we live in a time where death is pretty nice. Death, you go to the funeral home after, well, you don't go. They take your body to the funeral home, right, after that event happens in your life. And, man, they'll dress you up real nice. They got these professional people that they'll put the makeup on you, and they'll make you look really, really nice. I mean, sadly, there's some people that almost look better dead than they did alive. I mean, they're just nice and cleaned up. And if you've never really slept with a nice satin pillow, listen, on the day that they take you to the funeral, you're going to have a nice pillow. And listen, you're going to have a nice basket where they're going to lay you a nice little coffin there. And it's just going to be amazing. But you're still going to be dead. No matter how nice the coffin is, no matter how nice the satin pillow is going to feel like that day, you're still going to be dead. That day, if you've never been in a limo, you will be in a limo. That day, if no one has ever stopped just because you're driving by, they will that day. You'll see people have to pull off the road as you're driving in that limo, and everybody's going to, and you're not going to even be by yourself. You're going to have an entourage. You'll probably have, you know, I don't know how many line of cars behind you going with you all the way to the place of burial. And man, it's just going to be really nice. But the only problem is you're going to be dead. You're not going to experience the joy of it because you're going to be in that coffin, but it's going to be really nice. In fact, they're going to take you to the cemetery, and at the cemetery, they're going to lower you in really, really slow. I don't know if they just don't want to wake you up or what the problem is, but they'll do it really, really slow. And it's going to be really, really nice. And you say, well, what do you mean it's going to be really, really nice? Well, when you think about it, all right, 100 years ago, they didn't have coffins like this really, really nice. 150 years ago, it was kind of like, let's get them a wooden box, and we're just going to kind of get some rope, and we'll kind of throw them into where they're going to go to. And there was no limousine. They had like a horse and carriage, and it was a bumpy ride, and you didn't really have this long entourage behind you. I mean, death was very different 150 years ago, but today, man, they dress it up real nice. We do a really good job of doing that on the day that we die. But we still die. Death still comes, no matter how comfortable we might make it seem, no matter how nice we can dress it up, death still comes. And because of that, because we know there is a day coming where we're all going to pass through death, it really makes time important, doesn't it? It makes us have to think, what are we going to do before we get to that place? What are we going to do before that event comes into our life? What are we going to do with the time that God has given us? Have you ever thought about that? I feel like the older I get, the more I think about that. The more you start wondering, where am I going? Maybe as a 15-year-old Boy, I didn't think too much about it. I kind of felt like that's way down in the distance at some point in my future, I'm sure. You just don't really think about that. But later you do, as you get older and as life just kind of happens, you begin to think about time. And you look at it a little bit differently. And your time that was very difficult in his life. If you know the story of Moses, you'll remember that God called him out of Egypt to free the people of Israel. You remember that the people of Israel were in captivity for 400 years. And Moses comes along and God preserves his life, though he was born with a death sentence on him. God miraculously preserves his life and God calls him to free the people of Israel. And in his life, Moses does that. Moses leads the people out of Egypt and he begins to take them to the promised land. And if you're familiar with the story, you remember when they got to the door, to the doorstep there of the promised land, the people stopped believing God. Even though God had freed them from Egypt, even though God had done some miraculous things, defeating the greatest army the world had known at that time, even though God had provided for them in the wilderness, provided food and provided all that they needed, yet they get to the doorstep after doing all of that and they rebel against God. And Moses sends 12 spies into the promised land and 10 come back saying, "We can't do this. I know God has promised us this land, but no. I don't think we can do this." And only 2 of them said, "Hey, if God promised it, he'll do it. Let's go in. Let's conquer the land." And of those 12, they listen to those 10 and they disobey. And God says, because of your disobedience, nobody that is 20 years old and older will make it in. You're going to die in this wilderness. You're going to die wandering in the desert. You're going to die and never know what I had in store for you. You're never going to experience the victory, the joy, the freedom that I had for you because you disobeyed. And after that experience, Moses writes Psalm chapter 90. As we study this psalm, you'll see that it must have been something really difficult to write. It was something that was heavy on Moses' heart, being the leader, being the one that was to take them into the promised land and not being able to get there. Knowing that a death sentence has been given to everybody 20 years of age and older. And you know what Moses starts to think about? Time. In verse number 12 of Psalm 90, he says, "So teach us to number our days." See, Moses knew death was coming. Moses knew, listen, there's not much time left. So what am I going to do with this time? See, when he gives the phrase, "teach us to number our days," he's not talking about like counting and saying, "Okay, let's count 1, 2, or 365. Okay, that's a year." He's not talking about literally counting the days. What he's talking about is making them accountable, making them count. Making our time mean something. Moses begins to write this psalm thinking about the situation that he's in, thinking about the death sentence that he is under. He thinks about, what am I going to do with the time? What am I going to do? Those that are 20 years old are thinking, I'm not going to make it past 60. What am I going to do in the next 40 years with the time? Before we think about their situation, let me just ask you, what are you going to do with your time? I don't know how much time you and I have left. We just are about to finish 2019. There's no guarantee we're going to finish 2020. So what are you going to do with the time? I want you to notice in this psalm what Moses tells the people during this time with that sentence on their head. I want you to notice what he tells them about time. How to use their time, how to prepare for what's coming. This morning, I think there's a lot that we can learn in this passage that Moses can teach us about what we need to do as we prepare for now a new year. As we prepare to do what we are going to do with the time that God has given us, there's some things that we need to have, some truths that we need to think about, some truths that we need to apply and live out if we're going to use time as God wants us to use. As if we're going to do what Moses said and say, teach us, God, to number our days. I want you to notice, first of all, in your notes this morning as we study this psalm, I want you to notice the first truth, and it's this, that Moses begins to think about God's faithfulness. If you look in verse number 1, notice that he writes, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Moses begins by reminding himself of the fact that God has been there for him without fail. Moses tells the people, man, God has been our dwelling place. God has not left our side. Yes, he sentenced us to a time of death, but we already knew that. Death is a reality for every person. If it's not in the next 40 years, it's in the next 100 years for sure. It's something that is already set in stone. That's not news to us. But Moses says, I want you all to remember this. Remember God's faithfulness. And I love what he says, because in God's faithfulness, the one thing he starts off remembering about God's faithfulness is he remembers God's fellowship with him. He says, thou hast been our dwelling place. You know, the words dwelling place literally mean den. Like in a house, I don't know how many of you have a den in your house, but usually the den is much nicer to be in with your friends. You have a living room, and for most people, the living room is kind of formal. You've got couches that you probably sit on once or twice in the year, right? And if people are coming over, but most of the time, if we've got friends coming over, we don't really sit in the living room and do everything. We try to go to a den. Right in the den, it's where we have the TV, it's where we have the comfortable couches, it's where, you know, everything, all the games are there, and usually all the fellowship that happens, like the most fun fellowship in our home is usually in the den. In the den is when we talk about deep discussions, and it's where we kind of have that time of fellowship. And Moses says, I want to remind you of this. Think about God's faithfulness. Think about how God has been our dwelling place. He's been there in that fellowship with us. The psalmist said in Psalm 71, be thou my strong habitation. It's the same word. Whereunto I may continually resort. He says, thou hast given commandment to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress. You know what the psalmist, he discovered in his life? That there's a time to be with God in fellowship. And that time is just, it's a sweet time. It's a time where you get to draw close to God. It's a time in which you get to know God in a way that you've never known him before. And Moses says, think about that. Let me ask you something as you think about the dwelling place that God has. Can you think about the times when you've been, if you will, in your spiritual den with God in this year of 2019? Can you think of moments where God began to just draw close to you in a way that you had not had him draw close like that before? Man, I think about 2019 and I think, man, there were times, there were months where God's presence just was so real in my life. Things that God just kind of taught me that I thought I knew, but I really didn't until this year. Now you can think about times over the course of this year where you were in that fellowship with God and God was with you. God was there. I think about times in our church where that's happened. I don't know how many were able to go to the couples retreat in March, but man, that was a wonderful time. It was a time of just fellowship and getting to meet other people at here at our church, but more than that, man, some of the messages that we were challenged by, man, drew us closer as a couple to one another, but as a couple, it drew us closer to God. To me, at least, it felt like being in the den and just talking and fellowshipping. I think of the times when we've had conferences this year, and where God begins to challenge us on missions. And he said, are you going to have a heart to give? Are you wanting the gospel to get to other places that you can't go to? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to open up your heart if you're a teenager? Are you willing to listen to my calling in your life? And it's in times of those conferences where you feel like you're just in a den with God. And that there's a time of fellowship there. I think of times of camp, being a youth pastor here at the church. I think those times of camp. And where at camp you just go and, man, there's a lot of fun. There's a lot of games. But every time I talk to teenagers, when I ask them what they loved most about camp, they say it's that time with God. The preaching at night and the lessons in the morning and just being together, sometimes doing devotions as a cabin. And just that time with God, it's like being in a den. And Moses says, I want you to remember God's faithfulness. The fellowship that God had with you throughout the year. You know, I wish I could say that throughout this year, I was so faithful to God that, I mean, it's expected that God would want to meet with me. But if we're honest, there are times and moments in this year where we just made some really dumb decisions. And instead of being faithful to God, we were unfaithful. And yet, in our unfaithfulness, God was still there. I mean, think about this. Moses is thinking about, in this last year, we were at the doorstep of going into the promised land and we rebelled. We were unfaithful. But he doesn't start out his prayer and his psalm thinking about that. He starts out thinking about, but think about God's faithfulness. He's been our dwelling place, that place that we can fellowship with him. And then he remembers not only God's fellowship, but he remembers God's foreverness. I don't even know if foreverness is a word, but if it is, then I just invented it. And if it is, then good. I'm glad I thought of it. Foreverness. You read in verse number 2, it says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Moses takes time to remember that God is always there. Not only does God want to have fellowship and dwell with us, but he's always there. Always. No matter what, no matter how faithful we've been or unfaithful we've been, no matter where we've been, God's been there. I love the fact when you think about it, the psalmist is saying, no matter how far back in history you want to go, God is there. You say, in the time of Moses, was God there? God was there. In the time of Abraham, was God there? God was there. In the time of Adam and Eve, was God there? God was there. In the time before Adam and Eve, God was there. And let me just say, when time has run out, far beyond our lifetime, God will be there. You see, God is from everlasting to everlasting. God is there. What a wonderful promise to think about this morning. In the time that you have, let me tell you something, as you think about God's faithfulness, as we think about, we're going into 2020, and God's been so faithful in 2019, as I look back, isn't it awesome to know, man, God was with me throughout this year, but God will be with me next year. God doesn't stop being God in 2019. God is still God in 2020. The faithfulness that you counted on for God this year will be there next year. Ain't that awesome? I love what Job says. Job chapter 38, if you're familiar with Job's life, you know all of the tragedies that came into his life, and yet he was able to stay faithful in his faith in God. Though it was probably a good time where no one would blame him if he began to doubt God's goodness. No one would blame him if he would just to say, I ain't giving up on this God thing. But he didn't. And he trusted God. And in the time when God finally came to visit him, you know what God reminded Job of? The same thing that Moses remembered when he was going through a tough time. Look what God asked Job. He said, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest? And who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? God is asking Job. Job, were you there? Were you there when I created this universe? Were you there, Job? Do you know how I did it? Do you know how I measured it? Do you know how big the universe is, Job? He said, Job, you don't, but I do. You see, Job, because I didn't start existing when you were born, Job, I existed way before. From everlasting to everlasting, Job, I've been here. And if there's something that we ought to think about going into 2020, is God is there. God is there. God is going to be there for the tragedies that you're going to face. God is going to be there for the victories that you're going to have. God is going to be there for the moves that you're going to have to make and the big decisions and the life-changing decisions that you have in 2020. Just remember, God is going to be there. You see, because God is faithful. Moses tells the people, yeah, guys, we failed. We were at the doorstep and we didn't get in. But just remember, God is faithful. God has been that fellowship with us. He's our dwelling place. And God has been there all the time. He's never left us. He says, I want you to think about that. But then he says, I want you to think about something else. Not only do I want you to think about God's faithfulness, but think about man's frailty. In verse number 3 all the way down to verse number 11, Moses reminds the people and really reminds himself of the frailty that man has in life. In other words, that word frailty means weak, the weakness of man, the limitations of man. I know sometimes in the day and age in which we live, we kind of think a lot about ourselves, don't we? We've got this technology where we can talk to anybody anywhere in the world in an instant. We can get online and talk to people in China right now if we wanted to. We can talk to people in Africa. You can talk to people in Europe. You can talk to people anywhere in the world in an instant. And we kind of think, man, we're pretty smart. Man, we're pretty great. We are pretty unbelievable. Look at the accomplishments. I mean, we've made it to the moon. I mean, listen, Earth wasn't enough for us. We got to keep going. You can start thinking about ourselves and about yourself. Man, look how great I am. And Moses says, before you start thinking about that, just think about how weak we are. Think about how frail we are. He says, first of all, I want you to understand how limited you are. You're limited in your time. Moses said, it doesn't matter all that we've accomplished. It doesn't matter all that we have done. Just remember, time's going to run out. You see, God is from everlasting to everlasting, but we are not. You read in verse number 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, and Moses kind of reminds everybody, guys, like that. If James would have been around during Moses' time, he would have said what he wrote in the book of James, life's like a vapor, and we're limited by time. For us, it might seem like 1,000 years is a long time. And God says, that's like a second to me. You see, time controls us. Time limits us, but it doesn't limit God. God says, it says here, 1,000 years, it's like a day. It's not much. It's like a night's watch. It's like a shift at work. If you have 8-hour shifts at your work, that's what God says. 1,000 years is like an 8-hour shift. If you have a 12-hour shift, it's like a 12-hour shift. It's just like that. Moses says, remember that we're limited in our time. Psalm chapter 103, the psalmist said, as for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. For all of our accomplishments, for all that we can do in today's day and age, we're still limited by time. No matter how much we exercise, how many pills we take, how healthy we eat, time just keeps moving forward. And eventually, it overtakes us. We find that we're limited because of time. But then Moses said, not only are we limited because of time, but we're frail and weak because of our iniquities. You'll notice there in verse number 7, 8, 9, and 10, and 11, how he reminds the people of our iniquities. He says in verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee. Our secret sins are in the light of thy countenance. Verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You know, it's amazing what sin will do. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes we can start thinking that sin brings happiness to our life. So we make decisions to sin, thinking this is going to make me happier. This is going to make life better. And you know what Moses reminds the people of? Sin is what brought us to this point. We're so limited. We're so weak that we can't even see what sin has done. We get to the very doorstep of receiving the promises of God, and what do? We sin. We rebel. We disobey. We go back. So weak. You know, sin weakens us. Sin doesn't bring more joy into a life. It doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring contentment. It brings all of the opposite. I was reading this past week on Fox News, on their app, of some family, and I want to say it was, I can't remember what city, if it was like New York or something, and on Christmas Day at 3:30 in the morning, a man and his girlfriend, who was 30 years old, and she had, I think, 4 kids, got drunk. So drunk that he became violent, and they got in a fight, and he went and got a knife, and he stabbed her to death. Her 13-year-old son that came to try to defend her, he stabbed him too. And he was in critical condition. The story didn't say if he was going to live or not. But as I read that story, I thought, that's what sin does. We think, oh man, this is going to be fun. This is going to be an awesome Christmas. I'm just going to drink and have a good time. But sin always takes you further than you want to go. It always keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it always costs more than you want to pay. Always. But we're so weak by it. Sin weakens us that way. And Moses tells the people, listen, we're here. The next 40 years, we're going to be wandering in this desert. There's a death sentence on us. But here's what I want you to think about. Number one, God's faithful. And number two, we're weak. We need him. We need him. So he says in verse number 12, so then teach us to number our days. I want you to notice the last truth this morning, and it is that we are to apply our hearts to wisdom. What do we do with the time, Moses said? He said, teach us then, God, to number our days and to apply our hearts to wisdom. The resolution and the decision that Moses made that day as he wrote this prayer is the same one that we need to make today. At the end of 2019, about to go into 2020, it's the same one. We need to number our days. We need to consider them. We need to make them count. You say, how do we do that? We do that, first of all, by finding fulfillment in God's will. You see, God had a plan now. And the plan didn't involve them going into the promised land. That was not God's plan any longer. It originally was, but they didn't want God's plan. They didn't want plan A that God had for them, so they went with plan B. And now, during this time, in the last 40 years, God says, I still have another plan for you. I'm not through with you. And you know what? That's how God is, by the way. God is so amazing that even when we mess up, God hasn't given up on you. Even in 2019, if you made a really bad decision that has some really heavy consequences, can I tell you, God hasn't given up on you. God still has a plan for you. God still wants to do something. Look for God's will going into 2020. You'll find fulfillment in it. You see, you'll find here that God's will for them now is with the next generation. He says, I want you, first of all, to accept the fact that you're not going in there. The judgment, what I have spoken, I have spoken. And you can read about it in Numbers chapter 14. We don't have time this morning. But you can read the story in Numbers 14. And God says, what I've spoken, I've spoken. What I've declared, I've declared. But I want you to think about this. There's still something I want you to do. I want you to raise the next generation to fulfill the promises, to receive those promises, to live in victory, to show my glory. That's my will now. That's what I want you to do in the next 40 years. I don't want you to just kind of live in a time of, oh, woe is me. I don't know what day I'm going, but I'm about to be going. You know, it's amazing how many people you can run into in church with that kind of attitude. Well, I don't know. It's almost over. God's coming soon. I don't know. I'm just kind of holding on. Man, God help us to not have that kind of attitude in our church. I hope we have an attitude that says, man, going into 2020, listen, I don't know what God has in store, but I'm looking for what he has. I don't know what God's going to want me to do in 2020, but whatever he asks me to do, I'm willing to do it. You see, applying your heart to wisdom is telling your heart, what God is calling me to do, I'm going to do. God, if you want me to teach a class in 2020, I'm going to do it. Man, in the month of January, God, I'm going to be praying. If you want me to be an usher, I'm going to be an usher. If you want me to join the choir, I'll join the choir. I got to do something. God, whatever you lead me to do, I just want to do your will. That's all I want. See, a heart that is applying itself to wisdom is one that's finding fulfillment in God's will. Listen, don't look for it in your job. Don't look for it in anything else. Don't look for it in the money. Don't look for it in the election. You might be disappointed. Any way you lean, whether you're Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. Listen, the hope of our nation isn't in Donald Trump getting another 4 years, though I hope he does. But the hope of the country is not in Donald Trump's economy or President Trump's economy. The hope of our country is not in politics. The hope of our country is in this room this morning. Those that are saying, God, I want to find fulfillment in your will. God, help me as the prayer of my life ending in 2019 that I start in 2020 looking for fulfillment in you. See, God's plan for them was that. He said, you're not going into the promised land, but fine, you can still find fulfillment in me. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. By the way, that's what he was doing for them. That's what he'll do for you. He said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth or your strength is renewed like the eagles. Can I just say, as we end this year and as we move into the next, apply your heart to wisdom. Find fulfillment in God's will. And let me just say, if you're here this morning and you have yet to give your life to God, that's God's will for you today. God's will is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is that you become a child of his. And the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. You see, you can come to Jesus today. No matter what decisions you've made in 2019, you can start by doing God's will today. And that starts with a relationship with him. Let me just say, not only do you need to find fulfillment in God's will to apply your heart to wisdom, but find fulfillment in God's work. Moses ends the psalm in verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. You see, Moses ends this prayer with a look on God's work in their lives. The work now to build up the next generation, to build up their children, to see the glory of God, to live the promises of God, to experience the victories of God in their life. That's their job now. That's fulfilling for them. That's the work that God has called them to do that now. I don't know what God's calling you to do today. I don't know what God's going to call you to do in the year 2020, but as we prepare, I want you to think about what Moses prayed. He says, let's think about God's faithfulness. Let's think about the fact that we're weak and we need God. And let's make a decision. We're going to apply our hearts to wisdom. We're going to find fulfillment in Him. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. This morning, the oldest of Psalms has so much to teach us today. You see how God's word is so relevant for today? It's so needed. I feel like it's needed more today than it's ever been, although it's always been needed. But you find as you go into a new year, you find that it's important to remember God's faithfulness and your need for Him. And you find how important it is for you to make a decision to apply your heart to wisdom. So the question this morning is, will you apply it? Cyrus Nussbaum was a Methodist preacher in the state of Kansas late in the 1800s. In fact, in 1898, he was given a church in one of the most difficult areas of Kansas, an area where there was not a lot of people that wanted to go to church, and it was just a small church. And of course, Cyrus went in there just pumped that God had called him. He was pumped. It was his first year, 1898, being a pastor, and he went in there with all he had. And after about a year of doing that, God was good and began to bring people to the church and began to use him in a mighty way there in that area. And when their conference came up there in his church and the churches that were part of the Methodist churches that he was a part of, he thought, man, in this next conference, they're going to promote me. They're going to give me another nicer area with a bigger church and a bigger home. And they're really going to promote because of the work I've done so far. And he went to the conference and he discovered that they just sent him back to where he was. In fact, he put in his journal that it was a hard Scrabble circuit, a hard area to kind of pastor in and to minister in. And honestly, he says, I got back to my home and he said, I was a little bit rebellious. I was depressed. I was saddened. And I thought, God, why are you bringing me to this place? I don't want to be here. This is the last place I want to be. And yet, this is where you have me. And Cyrus began to think about that and was kind of letting himself go down that path. And later that night, as he was kind of wallowing in his misery, he tried to go to sleep and he couldn't sleep. And about halfway through the night, the Spirit of God began to convict him. Say, Cyrus, this is where I've placed you. Cyrus, this is where I want you. This is the work I've called you to. And Cyrus says that he knelt down there by his bedside and began to pray and ask God to forgive him for his rebellious attitude, for his sorrowful attitude. And as a result of that prayer, he wrote a hymn that we sang. And I love the words of this hymn. In fact, I've sang it one time in youth. And some of y'all will remember because I sang it like 50 times in a row. And you're like, how many times are we going to sing this song? But I love this song. He wrote the words. It says, would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Then let Him have His way with thee. Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you never need to fall? Then let Him have His way with thee. Would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true in providential test? would you in his service labor always at your best? Then let him have his way with you. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. As we go into 2020, challenge is simple today. What are you going to do with that time? I don't know how much is left, but what will you do with it? Moses said, teach us now to number our days and to apply our heart unto wisdom. Will you do the same? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for just the truth of this psalm. As we think about the circumstance in which it was written, Father, we can look at our year in this 2019 and we can say maybe there are times where we also have experienced that disobedience to God, and where, Father, your judgment has come into our life. But, oh, Father, you've still been faithful even in that judgment. Oh, Father, how wonderful to be reminded of the truth that your discipline isn't given us to despair, but it's given to us so that we might draw closer to you. Father, I pray that as your people here in this place, that we would draw nigh to you, that we would make our days count for you. As the pianist plays just a quick hymn here, just one stanza, perhaps you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, you know, that's what I need today. Today, as I look back at 2019, I see how God was faithful, but I also see how weak I was. As I start 2020, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I just want to do what God's calling me to do. I want to do his will in my life, and I want to do his work with my life. Would you just pray for me? If that's your decision this morning, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Is there anyone like that? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. I want to give one more invitation this morning. Perhaps you're here and you're saying, you know what, Pastor, you're talking about a relationship with God, a personal fellowship with God. And to be honest, I don't think I've ever made that decision. I can't think of a time in my life where I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin and to be my Savior. But I want to do that today. I want to start doing God's will by first giving my life to him. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Father, this morning you saw the hands, but more important, you saw our hearts. And I pray that as we go into this new year, I pray that you would work in our hearts and in our lives. I pray that, Father, you would work in us and through us and help us to really, really live for you. May this new year be a year in which you work in our lives like you've never worked before. May we draw closer to you like never before. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, before we're dismissed, as I announced earlier, we want to take the time to give in our offering. And if you've not given to your gift to Jesus, you can do it online now. It wasn't able to last a week, but we've already made an account for it. So if you're in the habit of giving online, you can do that. If you're in the habit of text giving, the keyword is mi regalo, and it's all one word, okay? All lowercase, all one word, miregalo. If I misspelled that... let me know. Mi regalo, right? miregalo. Mi regalo. That's the key word if you want to do it by text, by giving, all right? This morning, we're gonna end with the offering. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask if you would. Let's go ahead and stand. And after you give your offering, the ushers are, going to go through after the prayer. After you give your offering, we will be dismissed. Don't forget, if you're signing up for the new ambassadors class, please go by the information center. It's going to be an awesome, awesome class. I know you're going to enjoy that. Please do that. And don't forget to start praying about how you can get connected. There might be another announcement that I'm missing. Oh, sure. Okay. And so we'll do that. All right. Let's go ahead and pray for the offering, and then Brother John will come and finish our service off. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your blessings. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house. Thank you for the great privilege and opportunity that we have to give. I pray that you bless this time now, bless this offering, multiply it as it's used for the furtherance of your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we are doing the offering, worshiping through that, I do want to have a few reminders tonight. We do have the Lord's Supper, the evening supper, and the evening service. The evening supper, that'd be good. In the evening service, we do have the Lord's Supper, so if you would like to partake in that, be here this evening at 6 o'clock, and that'll be a wonderful service with that as part of the service this evening. And then this Tuesday is the end of the year, and we are having a New Year's Eve service that evening from 8 to 10. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, that'll be this Tuesday evening. And there are already several that have signed up because we always end that service with a time of food and fellowship. And if you're planning on being here and you would be so kind as to bring something, if you'd swing by the information center, there is a list of things that we're asking for people to bring for that evening's after the evening service to have that food and fellowship. And so they are asking that if anybody is coming on that, to make sure that you swing by there and sign up for something that you would be bringing for that service. Well, I believe those are all the announcements for now. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed this morning. Father, thank you for having met with us. Thank you for the blessing of being able to see your church grow. Thank you for speaking to our hearts and our lives. Thank you for a local church and a pastor, Father. We thank you for the blessings that we've had in 2019, and we look forward to what you have for us in 2020. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Lord bless you.